at the who had arrived at the pearly gates, where Peter stood waiting for his arrival. Peter said to the man, he said, "Tell me one thing, just one thing that you have did on earth that was purely unselfish." The man stood there thinking for a second, and then he said, "Oh, that's easy. I was walking along minding my own business when I came upon this little old lady who was being shoved around by a huge biker type guy." Peter said to the man, "What did you do?" The man said, "First, I went over and I kicked the biker's back over just to distract him just for a moment. Then I kicked him. Then I punched him with all my might, everything that I could put in that punch. And I yelled to the old lady, 'Run!'" Peter said, "That is amazing. Exactly when did this happen?" And he said, "Oh, I say 2 or 3 minutes ago." I love to hear you laugh. I get tickled, you know. See, if you've been around here very long, we believe that laughter is like a medicine, just like the Bible says. But I get tickled that some of the men, you know, we've changed the lighting system here with automatic sensors that kicks on, and I have messed Carrie and JW, I think he says, messed them up because they're still going in the rooms trying to push the light switch. But the lights just automatically go off now, saving a lot of time and money. But we had them in the bathrooms for a while, but I get tickled that especially some of the men that hadn't been here very long, they'll take a step into the bathroom, then they'll do that, then don't come on, then they'll holler at someone and say, "Something's wrong with the light." And we have told the men, when you start walking in there, don't stop. Just keep on walking and the light will come on. And I've done that for a while. Sometimes I'll get, 4 or 5 feet in there and that light will automatically come on. Down here doing some work, and I've shared this with several. Down here doing some work, I have laughed at people that has went to the men's restroom and the closet right beside of it, the door is just right there, and I've laughed at people that open it and look, and oh, I'm in the wrong room. But this time I started in to go to the bathroom, and I'm doing what I've told everybody to do: go in, don't stop. Well, I went into the closet, I hit a ladder, the wall, a sink, I bounced over everything in there and come out and said, "Thank God nobody was here to see this." And if somebody that has the cameras, the security team, please don't pull that up on the cameras. Amen. Do a playback on it. I feel like this morning that the Lord has given me a message. And if Matt will get the pulpit and follow me, I'll go ahead and take it to the ones that I thought that the Lord gave it to me for. You see, life is a journey. And in this journey of life, how many knows that in this journey, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have circumstances that you're going to have to deal with. And you're going to have crisis from time to time. We had one Friday morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning. Sister DeHart opens the bedroom door and she says, "Shannon, Ansley has been in a wreck," and took her 30 minutes to say they're all right. She says she didn't, but it seemed like it took 30 minutes to get the rest. But they're all right. God had His hand upon them. Got T-bone going to work that morning and possibly totaled the vehicle. But we all have crises. We have challenges. We deal with things. But I want to remind you this morning that throughout all the challenges that we go through and all the crises that we deal with in life, I want to challenge you by saying, we have hope. When things happen and we find ourselves dealing with things in life as a Christian, so often I think, how in this world do those that are not a Christian deal with these type things? But we know hope. We have hope. As Christians, we know something that the world doesn't know. We know hope. And this hope is what strengthens us. It sustains us throughout all the challenges and throughout all the crises that we may face in life. This hope that we have, it's what gives us the strength to go on. I'm thankful to know this morning that I have hope in God. There's a song that many of you would know when I tell you how the verse goes. I'll bless you this morning by not singing it, just telling you how the verses go. It says, "My hope is built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Then it says, "I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Boy, now I've got to go just a step farther. And it says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." I don't know what you've dealt with this week. I don't know the circumstance that you had dealt with, the crisis that you have faced this week. I've got good news. Hope is good news. It's good news for bad times. Where would we be without hope? Where would you be today without hope? I wouldn't want to face another day without God. So the question might be this morning, then, what would be the definition of hope? If you look it up, you would find several different meanings. But this is the meaning that I pulled out of the dictionary. It is the confident expectations that our future is in God's hand. But the good news is this morning that hope is not just something for the future. Because when I talk about hope, we automatically think about hope we have in the future. Heaven's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I'm sorry for those that's not going to go. We have a future hope. Heaven. Go back to the Garden of Eden. God never intended for this world to be the way it is. But it is. But one day in the future, we have that blessed hope that we're going to heaven. But I just feel like that I need to focus here just for a moment to remind you that the hope you have in the future is not only not the only hope that you have. How many saved people do we have here this morning? Praise team, come back. We need to sing and have an altar call. We got some lost people in this house this morning. You see, we have hope that is found in the past. And I'm going to share this with you through the Scripture. Hope that's found in the present. And yes, we have that future hope. Have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Sorry that I didn't tell you quicker. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven." These are powerful verses. Then it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days." We understand that if we're students of the Word of God, and if you've read the book of 1 Peter, that 1 Peter teaches us that where there is Christ, there is hope. There's an old Roman saying that says, while there's life, there is hope. But I want to go a step farther, maybe correct that. To a Christian, there is hope even after death. Death is not the end. O death, where is thy sting? I'm thankful that we have victory over death. We all have been in a funeral home with loved ones. And once again, the thing that I think about is how in the world do those that are not Christians deal with this kind of crisis? We've all had them. We deal with it because we know that there is life after death. We deal with it because we know that we have hope in God. So 1 Peter reminds us of that hope. Matter of fact, if you'll notice in verse 3 that it tells us that a Christian believer has a living hope, not a dead hope. We have a living, a lively hope. Then in verse 21, it tells us that we have a living hope because our hope is in God. Can I ask you something this morning, very personal? Where's your hope? What is your hope in? Because if your hope is in the wrong thing, you're going to find that you're going to be a failure. So as you read 1 Peter, you find that this living hope is the major theme of this book, this first letter. It is a reminder to all believers that we have hope. Even Peter denied him 3 times. I know not this man. They crucified Jesus on the cross. And what did Peter do? He went back to his old way of living. I'll go fishing. He was a professional fisherman. I'll get it out. But I want to tell you, because of that hope that is in God, yes, he died on the cross. And yes, he was buried. And yes, Peter went back to fishing, but in the meantime, something took place. How many know that there is the hope of a resurrection? Jesus came forth out of the grave. Then we find Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." Then again, "Peter, do you love me more than all these?" "Yes, I love you." "Then go feed my sheep." When it looks like that the only thing we can do is go back to what we need to do, like Peter, you're going to find out that your circumstance can't stop you because there is hope in Jesus Christ. Yes, he hung on the cross. Yes, he was buried. But on the 3rd day, he rose from the grave. And today we have that hope, that victory that's found in Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. If I knew that it made me preach so much better down here, I would have done it a long time ago. So this living hope, according to verse 4, is an inheritance. Oh, you didn't deserve it. No, you didn't deserve it. It is an inheritance. An inheritance that never fades away. And I like what it said in verse 4. It says, reserved in heaven for you. I put my name there. Reserved in heaven for T.D. Hart. It's my inheritance. Now, I don't want to throw you for a curve, but I got to say this.
Our hope is not in the material things of this world. Nothing wrong with this. I believe God wants us to live to the fullness. Be blessed. Amen. But I want to tell you, our hope is not in our education. Nothing wrong with the education, and I would say to these kids, you know, get educated, get everything that you can get. You're going to need it in the world that we're living in. But I want to tell you, it's not in education, because some of you know some educated fools just like I do. I didn't call no names. Don't write me no letter or give me a phone call about that. Well, that offended me. Well, you might be who I was talking to then. But we all know educated fools. I've seen some that were so educated that it's plumb scary, but they didn't have any common sense. Thank you, Bobby. So our hope is not in our education. Because some of you are just like me, you'd be in trouble. Our hope is not in our government. Oh yes, I'm for making America great again. But my hope is not in America. Oh, I'm fixing to get in trouble. I better move on. Our hope is not in a relationship. Some of you young ones right now. I'm in love. But the truth is, you really don't know what love is yet. And if I could just, you know, have this relationship with this one or this one, oh, it'd be all fine and good. But I want to tell you, your hope is not in a relationship. I love my wife, but I love God more. My hope is in God. This is going to knock your socks off. Your hope is not in your money. If it was, I'd have no hope at all. I'd be over borrowing money from Gerald every day just to get a little bit of hope. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not in your money. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. On the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Someone described hope this way. They said, what oxygen is to the lungs is what hope is to the Christian. Now in saying this, I would say that many people today are living a breathless life because they have no hope. People give up on life because they don't feel that they have any hope. Now, can I tell you that the why that some people turn to alcohol, others turn to drugs, is because that they feel like that they have no hope. But can I tell you that your hope cannot be found in alcohol, because when you sober up, you're still dealing with the same thing that you were dealing with before you got drunk. Amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I don't know about you, but I've been around some of those miserable people. Miserable. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we can fall into this. We can become miserable because we lost reality of what we have in Christ, that hope. Are you a miserable person? Don't look at your companion. Now, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which one you want first?
Bad. We got some back in the back saying other, and other in this favor saying it this way.
The good news is this morning, as a Christian, even when you die, you have hope of that resurrection. Death is swallowed up in victory. But I'm just going to be blunt and right to the point on the next one. The bad news is, if you're not a Christian, eternity is going to be a lake of fire. And regardless of what some people teach, you don't go to hell and just burn up and it's over. Heaven is an eternity, right? But can I tell you, hell is also an eternity. Death and hell is cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and forever and forever. Oh, he's playing a mind game with me right now. He's trying to get me saved. You better believe I'm doing everything I can to get you saved. Amen. If you don't have hope, I'd run to this altar this morning. So the good news as a Christian, we have hope. The bad news to the non-Christian, there's no hope. Now, the place called hope is found in your past and your present and your future. Let's look at the past first. 1 Peter 1 and 2 said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So we understand that even when we were sinners, we were elected and chosen, and that's confusing. Sometimes we can't wrap our mind around that. Predestined. We're not predestined to be saved or not. We're predestined and given free will to accept God or not to accept Him. That's a total different message. But we have been elected. We have been chosen by God. And eternity passed. Before I was born, He knew me. Somebody said, why didn't He do something? Even when you were not born, He knew you. He has chosen us. Now, turn to Ephesians 2. Because I want you to see this in these scriptures. Ephesians 2 and 1. Now I'm talking about the past. Hope in your past. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, and you, who's he talking to? You, me, you. You has he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, where was you? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Then verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Then verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God. Oh, that's shouting ground right there. Amen. But God, say it with me. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, hallelujah. For His great love wherein He loved us. Oh, my blessed Lord, please don't stop right there, because some of you can't feel love because you don't feel like you've done enough to earn the love. But you've got to stay with this. He said in verse 5, even when you were dead in your sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. My blessed Lord, even when you were dead in your sins, in time past. Some of you are waiting till you get to that point that you earn your stars. That I earn this hope that I'm preaching about this morning. Good luck. Amen. I hope the best for you. I'm here to tell you God loved you when you were unlovable. God loved you when you was in the pit. God loved you when you was an alcoholic. God loved you when you was a drug addict, a drug dealer. God loved you. See, that's one thing I had such a hard time accepting. How in the world can I just say, God, forgive me as a sinner and be forgiven when I've done all this? Some of you thinking, tell me what all you did. That's between me and God. But I'm here to tell you, when I was dead in my sins, He showed me mercy. He showed me grace. Thank God for that hope that I have now since I have accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. And some of you have given up on some loved ones because you think there's no way. But I'm here to tell you, God knows the very hair on their head. He knows where they're at. He knows, and He's able to reach them. He's able to show them mercy and give them grace and give them that same hope that you have right now. My blessed Lord, I feel a shout coming on. There's some parents here and some grandparents here that needs to quit stressing out over their children and know that God has His hand upon them. Amen. They're at that point. Oh yes, it seems like they're a million miles away from God. But I'm here to tell you, God hadn't gave up on them. But God. Hallelujah. He's going to reach down, snatch them out of that pit. I believe that. Can I get somebody to come into agreement with me? I believe that God's going to snitch. He's going to reach down His hand. He's going to pick them up. He's going to dust them off. And He's going to put them on the road of right. And they're going to have that hope that we have. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Even when you were dead in your sins. Verse 6 said, and has raised us up together. Made us set together in heavenly places in Christ. Thank God for that hope. Then, secondly, there's that present hope. In verse 3 says, He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A better translation here would be a living hope. A lively hope is a present day living hope. Something that we live in the present. I can't get overcome by all this. I've got to stay focused in the present. I have hope. Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. When we lose our hope, we set ourselves up for failure. Ephesians 2 and 4, but God. I want you to remember that. Don't leave here today without memorizing that, but God. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand what I'm going through. I'm broke.
I'm about to lose everything. God, my kids are driving me slap crazy. My dog don't like me anymore. Amen. I got fired from my job. But God. Oh, yes, the God. See, that's a mouthful. And I want to remind you that you can't outrun the blessings of God. Amen. He knows where you're at. I got a... Last Sunday, I was moving my hands and running to come up and play the piano. So I'm trying to teach myself to put my hand in my pocket or do something like that. So some of you left and said, well, Rhonda thought that y'all have heard enough. So she just come up and played the piano. But lastly, in closing, and Rhonda, my first church, when I'd be preaching and we would, you know, she was watching me, you know, and I always had this sign, you know, like that. And some of the teenagers just thought when she got ready for me to hush, she just went up, started to play. And one service, I guess I might have preached a little long or something. And one of them punched her and said, go on, play the piano. But lastly, Lord, I hope you've enjoyed the preaching as much as I've enjoyed preaching this morning. The last is a future hope. And folks, I want to tell you, I'd hate to know that I lived in this world that I live in without having that future hope. Things can be going so good, and just like what I was telling you Friday morning, just like that, a phone call. It could have been a lot different. And if I didn't know that my children had that future hope, I didn't know that my grandkids had that future hope, I wouldn't be able to lay my head down at night and rest. If I didn't know that I had that future hope. And I love this verse in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. What are those thoughts? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then in Titus 2:13 it says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This future hope is found in Ephesians 2:7. Many of you were there just a moment ago. And it's found in verse 7 that in the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Our future is awesome. You're talking about one of the greatest retirements that a person can have. We have it as a Christian. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I only know what I've been dealing with. But I don't know what you've been dealing with. It could be a list of a lot of things. It could even be a list of a bad report. And just go on and on and on. But I want to tell you, even when you get a bad report that says you're going to die and not live, Doc, you're wrong. I may lay this body down, but I will be very much alive because of the hope that I have. I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me this morning. I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me to give an altar call a little different than normally what I give an altar call for. Because I believe the majority of the people here are saved. I believe that. But I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me that I need to give an altar call for people to rededicate their lives to God so they can walk in this hope that we have. And without any pleading and without any begging, this altar is open now for those that want to rededicate their lives to God 100%. And what?